Welcome to episode 76 of the Fredcast Cycling Podcast for the week of July the 9th, 2007. My name is David, and I'm a Fred. In the news on this week's episode of the Fredcast, a quick review of recent Pro Tour events and standings, Tour de France notes, New Jersey quick release legislation, and a note about Robert Miller, plus an apology for a previous version of show 76 of the Fredcast. Following the news, a special interview with Saul Raisin, podcast award nominations, a listener voicemail, and PodSafe cycling music from Howard Jones. So sit back, relax, and if you're riding your bike, hammer just a little bit harder, because here comes the Fredcast. Fredcast is brought to you by Cambria Bicycle Outfitters. Go to www.thefredcast.com. Click the link at the top left-hand side of the page to find out how you can get special deals just for listening to the Fredcast. Cambria Bicycle Outfitters, home to quality products, quality prices, and quality customer service. Cambria Bicycle Outfitter, they outfit the world. Well, welcome back to another regular episode of the Fredcast Cycling Podcast. Yeah, I know it's been a long time since I've been here with a regular episode, but hopefully my daily tour podcast direct from the Tour de France is keeping you, well, tided over until we were able to get to a regular episode of the Fredcast. Now, as you can imagine, I have been extremely busy. Most of you know that I have just moved my entire family from Southern California to Northern Utah up here in the beautiful mountains of Park City, Utah. That has taken quite a bit of time. And as you can also imagine, the amount of time going into the daily tour podcast, as well as my live microblogging about the Tour de France in real time, is also taking up a bit of time. Hopefully you're enjoying that, but you know what? If you're not, I've got a regular episode of the Fredcast for you right now. So let's get right into it, shall we? Looking back at my show notes from what was the last regular episode of the Fredcast, I see that we were talking about the Dauphiné Libéré. And as you all know, the Dauphiné is, well, it's one of the races that a lot of the riders in the peloton use as their warm-up for the Tour de France every year. And it took place June the 10th through the 17th this year. And it was won this year by Christophe Moreau of France, who won it for his second time, coming in second place and 14 seconds overall behind Christophe Moreau was Cadel Evans from Australia. And in third, Andrei Kazechkin of Kazakhstan, 1 minute and 27 seconds behind Moreau. Alexander Vinokourov from Team Astana, also from Kazakhstan, was widely thought to be one of the leaders potentially in this year's Tour de France. He won the final stage, which was an 80-mile stage from Valois to Annecy in the Southern Alps. Second in that stage was Oscar Pereiro of Spain, and third was Cadel Evans. Now, Levi Leipheimer was leading in that final stage up until about 5 minutes before the end of the stage, when unfortunately he took a bad spill and he ended up, well, he just wasn't able to rejoin and win the stage. Too bad for Leipheimer. He was having a very good ride in this year's Dauphiné Libéré. And, you know, so far right now, he's looking pretty strong in the Tour de France. He's just sitting 1 minute back of the leader. So not a bad result for Leipheimer, but of course, congratulations to Christophe Moreau. Now, another traditional prelude for some of the professional peloton to the Tour de France is the Tour of Switzerland. Last year, the Tour of Switzerland was won by 1997's Tour de France champion, now retired, Jan Ulrich. And this year, it was won by Russia's Vladimir Karpets. And he did so even though Switzerland's Fabian Cancellara, the current yellow jersey wearer in this year's Tour de France, won the final stage of the race, a 33.7 kilometer time trial. Second place in the overall in this year's Tour of Switzerland went to Kim Kirchen of Luxembourg, and third went to Belgium's Steen de Volde. Now, the last Pro Tour event before this year's Tour de France started is the Eindhoven Team Time Trial, which took place June 24th of this year in the Netherlands. This, to me, is a fantastic event because while I do love stage racing, as I think you know if you're a longtime listener to the Fredcast, one of the great things about this race is it shows the value of being on a team. Now, you do see that in a stage race, like, for instance, the Tour de France. When one team member falls behind, his teammates will then drop back to the end of the peloton and bring him up to the front. And in a way, that's a lot like a team time trial. But in this one single day event, the teams really have to work together from the beginning all the way up until the finish line. And I really enjoy this event. I think it shows the beauty of cycling and the beauty of teamwork that can happen in cycling. This year's Eindhoven Team Time Trial was won by what has been one of the top teams in the world for a number of years, Team CSC. Second place, surprisingly, at least to some, went to the Tinkoff team, third to Team Milram, fourth Discovery Channel Pro Cycling, and Team CSC and Discovery, I think, have a bit of a rivalry going on this year. Fifth went to Liquigas, sixth Quickstep, seventh Casa de Parña, eighth Crédit Agricole, ninth Predictor Lotto, and 10th went to AG2R. Great event leading into the Tour de France, letting the teams work together. I like this event. Can't wait to see it again next year. And with the end of the Eindhoven Team Time Trial and the last Pro Tour event before the Tour de France, heading into the Tour, here are your official Pro Tour standings. For individuals, sitting in first place, this year's Giro d'Italia winner, Danilo De Luca from Italy with 207 points. In second, David Rebellin from Italy with 157 points. And in third, Alejandro Valverde from Spain with 112 points. Speaking of the teams, for the team points, sitting in first place is Team CSC with 246 points. In second, Team Liquigas with 212 points. And in third, Team Astana with 207 points. As far as countries are concerned, Italy is currently sitting in first place with 613 points. In second, with 382 points, is Spain. And in third, there's Australia with 314 points. Once again, with the Eindhoven Team Time Trial behind the riders and the Pro Peloton, it was time to prepare for the Tour de France. And this was when something unique happened. Now, you'll recall that last year, just before the Tour de France, an explosive doping scandal broke to the surface. And of course, we all know that now to be the Operación Puerto affair involving dozens potentially of professional cyclists in what is purported to be a very serious doping and performance enhancing drug ring. Now, there's a lot of unanswered questions when it comes to the Operación Puerto affair, but despite the fact that the questions remain, there is still the dark cloud of suspicion over much of the Pro Peloton, the teams, the riders, the promoters, the managers, and the sponsors. In reaction to that, the UCI asked the riders to sign a pledge that says that they are not now and have not previously been involved in doping and that they're not involved in the Operation Puerto affair. Furthermore, by signing the pledge, the riders commit that if they are at some point in the future found to have been in violation of the pledge, then not only will they accept the standard 2-year suspension as their sanction, their punishment for having been involved in that, but they will also pay to the UCI the equivalent of 1 year's salary. And finally, they also agreed to make their DNA samples available to the Spanish authorities who are investigating the Operation Puerto affair. This is unprecedented. This is major. And you know what? While some people are criticizing it as being showboating, as being symbolic, my opinion, which I think you know, my opinion is that the more we can do to bring doping out into the light of day, the more chance there is that we'll be able to rid our sport of the doping. And I think that in the end, that's a good thing. Now, once the Tour de France got started, there was also a call from the UCI for the coaches and the managers and everyone involved with the teams to also sign the pledge. Good idea? Bad idea? Let me know your comments. Send me an email, thefredcast@gmail.com, or call the Fredcast listener hotline. I'll be happy to play your comment on another edition of the Fredcast. And the Fredcast listener hotline is area code 206-203-FRED. And keep listening, because at the end of the show, I do have a voicemail from one of our listeners with sort of a unique perspective about the Ryder Pledge and about doping and how it has colored his perception of the 2007 Tour de France. Now, speaking of the Tour de France, I'm not going to go too much into the results of the tour, because if you're subscribing to the Fredcast, then you're also getting our daily tour podcast, which is giving you all of the day's events, including all of the results. You well know, therefore, that as of the recording of this podcast, the current yellow jersey holder after stage 5 of this year's Tour de France is Fabian Cancellara from Switzerland and Team CSC. There's much, much more to come. But speaking of Team CSC, one person that you will not see along with Team CSC, he's not driving the car, he's not sitting in the passenger seat of the car, and he's not there to help the riders, and that is their director sportif, Bjarne Riis, because Bjarne Riis, who, as you well know, has admitted to using performance-enhancing drugs when he won the Tour de France, is staying away from this year's Tour de France because there's no way that he could sign that pledge because he has been involved in doping in the past. It has been reported by earthtimes.org that he is on holiday with his family in Africa and that he's barely, if at all, watching the television coverage. However, earthtimes.org is also reporting that when he heard about how well Cancellara is doing and about Cancellara's stage victory a few days ago as he sprinted to the finish to defend his yellow jersey, Earth Times is reporting that Riis was overjoyed and overwhelmed with how well his team and his rider, Fabian Cancellara, are doing in this year's Tour de France. Now, another face that you will not be seeing in this year's Tour de France, or another two faces that you won't see, are this year's Giro d'Italia winner, Danilo De Luca, and as well as very well-known professional racer, Alessandro Petacchi. Two reasons, one for each. First of all, De Luca was not allowed to race because prior to the Tour de France, he was implicated in what was called the Oil for Drugs inquiry in Italy. He was under investigation by Italian police in that probe, and that probe has been running since 2004. In case you're not familiar with it, this focuses on yet another doctor. This is Dr. Carlo Santuccioni, who's alleged to have supplied athletes with doping products. Since having been banned from this year's Tour de France, however, he has been cleared by an Italian court, and it looks like he will not be banned from professional cycling. In response to it, De Luca said, quote, "I've always said I was convinced the case against me would be closed. I can't therefore say I'm surprised, even if I feel a huge relief." He went on to say, "For me, the judgment of the sports justice system counts as much as that of the ordinary court system." And then he said something which I respect and something you'll remember we talked about recently in our interview with Dr. Paul Strauss. He said, quote, "I know that many young people look up to me as a role model, especially after my win at the Giro. This is another reason why I don't want and can't allow my credibility to be questioned." I like that. Here's a rider who understands the power of his position as a role model. Hopefully that means that more riders will get the same message, and once again, we will be able to rid the sport of doping. Now, meanwhile, Team Milram's Alessandro Petacchi also had to miss this year's Tour de France because he failed a dope test at this year's 2007 Giro d'Italia. Now, what he is accused of using is a drug that he's cleared by the UCI to use. It's salbutamol. Salbutamol is used by those who have asthma or breathing problems. He's cleared to use it, but according to UCI rules, even though he's allowed to use it, extra elevated levels of salbutamol in a rider's body could have performance-enhancing effects. He is now scheduled to hear, hopefully sometime within the next week or two, whether or not he will be up for suspension or whether he will be cleared. I suspect that he'll probably be cleared, and therefore it really is a shame that he wasn't allowed to race with his Milram teammates in this year's Tour de France. Well, that's going to do it for what I'm going to talk about regarding the Tour de France here on the Fredcast, because as you know, we've got the Daily Tour podcast. Go ahead and listen to that. It's being dropped into the Fredcast feed as normal, so you'll get it when you sync your iPod or when you go to the Fredcast website. But just let your friends know who are possibly only interested in hearing about the Tour de France via podcast, that there is a separate feed for the Daily Tour, which only contains the Daily Tour podcast and which does not contain the normal Fredcast cycling podcast. One other thing, if you're stuck at work and you're not able to watch the live coverage of the race, I am microblogging all of the details for most days of this year's Tour de France via Twitter, and you can find the links to how you can subscribe to the Twitter feed in the show notes at www.thefredcast.com. Now, if you live in the state of New Jersey here in the U.S., this is a story that you're definitely going to want to listen to. You see, you have a state assemblyman in your state legislature by the name of Paul Moriarty, and he's from Gloucester. He has introduced a bill, number A-26A6, which would, in effect, ban the quick-release skewer as we know it in your state. And of course, if this passes in New Jersey, there's always the possibility that it could spread to other states here in the United States. Moriarty says, quote, "I felt we need to take the lead on this and get the manufacturers to do the right thing." He feels that quick releases are dangerous and that they lead to the possibility of somebody misusing the quick release and the wheel falling off and someone getting injured. Do you remember probably about 6 to 9 months ago, we were talking here on the Fredcast about a court case in Marin, California, where some families sued Walmart and Dynacraft when their children got injured when the front wheel of their bike separated from the bike because of incorrect use of the quick release. What Moriarty wants to do, he'll say, hey, you can use a quick release, but you have to also have a secondary retention device, which would ensure that even if the quick release was open, the wheel would stay on the bike. Great idea, but in practice, what that means is that it would make the quick release ineffective. It wouldn't be a quick release anymore. For all intents and purposes, you might as well put a big bolt through your fork and attach it with a bunch of nuts, because it's going to be just as difficult to get these quick releases off under his bill as it would be if you did that. We talked at great length about this on the Spokesman Cycling Roundtable podcast. We all agreed that it's a bad idea. We're all for safety, but we agreed that this is a bad idea. And we all agreed that the technologies that Moriarty is touting as being better than current quick releases are ones that have been tested and rejected by a number of different manufacturers. This is something to watch, especially if you're in New Jersey and you might want to make your voice heard with your elected representatives. Moving to another location here in the United States, if you are in Denver, Colorado, the police need your help. You see, there's a guy in Denver who walks into bike shops pretending to test ride bicycles, gets on the bike, goes outside, and then takes off. He steals the bike. And police in Denver, while they do have a photograph of the perpetrator, they do not know who he is, and they need your assistance to find out his identity. I have put a link in the show notes. It says, "Do you know this man?" If you click it, it will show you a picture of the alleged bicycle thief. Take a look at it. If you know who he is, if you know his name, if you know anything about him, let the authorities know. And if you live in Denver and you recognize this man, or if you live elsewhere in the United States or anywhere in the world and you recognize this man, you're asked to call Crime Stoppers at area code 720-913-STOP. That's area code 720-913-7867. Do us all a favor. Do local bike shops in Denver a favor. go to the website at www.thefredcast.com and check out the show notes for show number 76 and click that link for Do You Know This Man? And if you do, give him a call and let's get this guy arrested. Well, earlier today, I had a conversation with my friend Carlton Reed from Bike Biz Magazine at bikebiz.com and quickrelease.tv, and we were talking about how wonderful a showing there was in London for the preliminary prologue of this year's Tour de France, and then for the first stage of the Tour de France in England. It really was a great show. The fans were out there in force. I've never seen a crowd like that for a cycling race, even here at the Tour of California. And you know what I had to think about that, because we talked about it a lot here on the Fredcast. Well, one of the reasons that London was chosen to be the grand depart for this year's Tour de France was because London is hosting the 2012 Olympics. And now the City of London has unveiled the drawings and the plans for their cycling park for the 2012 Olympics. And this will be the 2012 cycling park. Construction is expected to begin in April 2009. This park is going to be built in Stratford. There'll be an indoor velodrome as well as a BMX track. Go ahead and take a look. I've put a link in the show notes, but what was interesting was the one comment that the BBC made on their website. They said, quote, "The draft design features a floating roof, which looks like a huge wave or a giant Pringle crisp." Take a look at it. Let me know if you think this is going to be called the Pringles building. You know what? Never mind. After I did that story, I went back and I looked at the photos for the show notes links. It does look like a giant Pringle. No doubt about it. Check it out in the show notes. And finally, with David Miller doing so well in this year's Tour de France, a lot of cycling fans in Great Britain and elsewhere are wondering whether or not there's a connection between him and Scottish cyclist Robert Miller. Now, if you're not familiar with the name Robert Miller finished in the top 20 of the Tour de France five times. He won three Tour de France mountain stages, and in 1984, he won the overall King of the Mountains jersey at the end of the Tour de France in Paris and took home that polka dot jersey. However, there is no relationship, familial relationship, between David Miller and Robert Miller. And finally, just a note, I did a different story on Robert Miller when I first recorded this podcast last night, or actually, I suppose it was yesterday morning. It was about 3 a.m. when I finished the podcast, and I have a feeling that my fatigue got the better of me, and I used a little bit of bad judgment in using a story that came from a less than credible source and in quoting what really turns out to be gossip and an invasion of the privacy of someone who is no longer in the public eye. I got a couple of emails from a few of you bringing that to my attention and saying that you were just a little bit offended by my comments. And in going back and listening to it in retrospect, I agree with you. That's the reason why I have re-edited this. I regret doing it. I apologize for doing it. I promised to all of you that I will keep my credibility up and that I will endeavor not to make a misjudgment like that again. Thanks. And that's going to do it for the news for this edition of the Fredcast Cycling Podcast. Quick note before we get into the news this evening. Some of you may have received the new Fredcast Feed Zone e-newsletter. That went out to those folks who took the survey earlier this year and decided to opt in to possible emails, and also to those with whom I have corresponded over the last year or so. If you'd like to subscribe to the e-newsletter, I'll be putting a link on the show's website at www.thefredcast.com very shortly, so look for that and you can get a copy of it as well. But one of the things I talked about in there was the fact that last year we were a finalist for the annual People's Choice Podcast Awards, and we were also a finalist for the Podcast Peers Awards. Well, this year the nominations are now open for the Podcast Awards once again. Nominations end July the 15th, and you, the podcast listener, are the one who nominates podcasts for these prestigious awards. You know what? I'd like to win one. I think the Fredcast is probably the best cycling podcast out there. I know a lot of you agree. And if so, please go to the show notes, click on the link that says nominate the Fredcast, and or just go over to the Fredcast website at www.thefredcast.com. There's a graphic on the left-hand side of the page. Click that. Nominate the Fredcast in the sports category, but please do it before the end of business on July 15th, and hopefully we'll be nominated for one of the awards, and when voting begins, I will let you know right here on the Fredcast. Now, something else that I've talked about here on the Fredcast time after time, you'll remember last year during the Circuit de la Sarthe race when Saul Raisin from Crédit Agricole and the United States went down hard and was in a coma for quite some time and gave us all quite a scare. I must have mentioned that story here on the Fredcast every week until Saul finally looked like he was going to be improving, but nobody had any idea what kind of a comeback he was going to have. As a matter of fact, there was quite a time when his parents thought that he would never even walk again, let alone ride a bicycle. You'll recall that I met Saul very, very briefly at the 2007 Amgen Tour of California. We spoke for about 60 seconds, and I put that into one of my Tour of California reports. Also at the Tour of California, I met a gentleman, an author by the name of Dave Shields, and we had a brief conversation, which I shared with you during the Tour of California, when we talked about his books that focus on the Tour de France, and those books are fictional. But I've also talked about how some of the doping that went on in his books was very eerily similar to some of the things that we've seen over the last couple of years, a bit prophetic. And I really enjoyed those books from Dave Shields. I know a lot of you have gone out and purchased those as well. Well, at the Tour of California, Dave Shields told me that he was going to be working with Saul on Saul's autobiography and the story of his comeback from that crash at the Circuit de la Sarthe, his coma, and his brain injury. And we also spoke with Saul's parents there. Just a great couple. Well, I found out from Dave Shields recently that Saul was going to be doing his first race right here in Utah, and that I would have the opportunity to go see Saul and see Dave and get an interview with Saul after the race. I had the opportunity to do that. I'm honored to bring it to you here in its entirety. So here's my recent interview with Saul Raisin from Crédit Agricole just after he finished the Porcupine Hill Climb last weekend in Salt Lake City, Utah. Well, I'm honored to be talking to Saul Raisin. Saul just did the Porcupine Hill Climb. How was your ride today?
It was amazing. You know, like when I was climbing up the mountain, I wasn't even thinking about the race. I was just more thinking about, you know, how far I've came and, you know, just what a victory it was to be here. You know, it's amazing. And when I passed people cheering on the side of the road, you know, it almost brought tears to my eyes because it brought back memories of the Tour de Georgia, the Tour de Germany, Tour de California, you know, and it's great. It's awesome.
Now, I saw you at the Tour of California and you were doing like every stage. How was that for you? And how was it with all those people riding with you?
Oh, you know, it was also amazing because, you know, even though I wasn't racing, I got enough cheers that you thought I was racing. And especially going up the big climb, all the Go Saul, some Go Saul banners, you know, that was great, you know. It's awesome.
It's great. Now, Saul, of course, asked me, where's my Raisin Hope bracelet? Tell me how that's going and how the whole raising money and the awareness for brain and spinal cord injuries is going.
Oh, it's going. It's excellent, you know. And we just released my new book, Tour de Life from Coma to Competition. And my whole message in my book is to show people not to give up, you know, and keep hope. You know, you can do anything you set your mind to. And that's what I'm doing. So.
Now, I've started reading your book, and of course, I've met your parents, and your parents feature very prominently in the beginning of the book. Tell me what sort of an influence your parents have had on you and how it helped you in your recovery.
Oh, huge, you know, like my parents' support was just, you know, it's a blessing, you know, they're behind me 100%, and I couldn't have done it without them, you know, and when you read the book, you know, the first half's in my parents' eyes, because how could it be in my eyes, because I was in a coma, so...
Now, also, the other thing that figures prominently in there is your team and your team manager. One of the things Lance talks about in his book is how his team just really abandoned him when he was going through his issues. And you're wearing your team kit now. So how has your team treated you?
Well, you know, after Tour, when the last stage of the Tour de France last year, he called me and he said, Saul, the team's drinking a glass of champagne in our name. And I said, you are? He said, I carried you across the line on my wrist. I was wearing one of your bracelets, you know? And, you know, Roger Leger, my team director, said, you know, I have a contract through 2008. And he said, Saul, even if you're not racing, your contract's still good. So that tells you right there how my team's been. You know, they've been awesome, amazing.
What are your plans for the future as far as racing go?
My goal is to, I want to make my big comeback at U.S. Pro Championship, so that's my ultimate goal, so we'll see.
Yeah, you've got a lot of friends who are racing in London today at the Tour de France. What are your feelings about that?
Oh, it's great. You know, I'm actually going to go watch a few stages of the Tour, and Versus is going to do a live broadcast at the stage that finishes in Marseille and starts in Marseille, so it'll be great to see my team, show them some of my books. You know, they haven't seen it yet, and it'll be awesome, so...
Now, you consider yourself a role model for either for people who've had injuries or for young riders?
To look at myself as a role model, you know, that's a big word, you know. That's like some people tell me I'm a miracle, you know. To think of yourself as a miracle, you know, that's just enormous, you know. Like, I don't know what to think of myself anymore. I mean, maybe just I like to say I'm answered prayers, you know. And if that makes me a role model, then yeah, sure, I am a role model. I just want to show people, you know, that you can do anything you set your mind to. It's not over. So
let's talk about your book real quick. What motivated you to write the book now, and what motivated you to write it with Dave Shields?
Well, I wanted to write it now because, you know, my recovery has been so fast, you know. I mean, and I think it's proof in the book, you know. The book's been in a year in progress, and it's finished and complete, you know. And the book's written up to where I'm at right this moment, because, you know, quite frankly, if life doesn't get better, I'm not going to cry home. You know, I have a normal life, and that's all I dreamed for the longest time, was just to live a normal life again. So
why write the book with Dave Shields?
Oh, because he was so enthusiastic and so devoted to writing my story, and I saw just his passion in his eyes, you know. And, you know, I just thought, you know, Dave can write my book because he was so devoted to writing it. So
how has this whole experience changed you? How has it changed you as a person?
Well, of course, it's made me more caring, more giving. I'm more emotional now. And it's changed me in many ways. Like, just the way I look at the world, what I'm thankful for, you know. And yeah, it's changed me in a lot of ways. And it's made me, as far as a cyclist, it's made me a much tougher person. Because, quite frankly, you know, what I've gone through on a bike, you know, you cannot... I mean, what I've gone through in my coma and my accident, you know, you cannot ever simulate that level of pain on a bicycle, you know. So for everything, you know, everything has to be easier from now out, you know. So
Saul, it's great meeting you again, and good luck this year, and good luck with your comeback.
Oh, thank you. And if you want more information on me, go to my website, www.saulraisin.com. And if you're interested in my book, it's www.tourdelife.us.
That's great. And by the way, speaking of your website, when you were going through your issues, I was literally reading your parents' blog posts on my show every week to let people know about you. So,
and you know, like we had thousands of people. When you read on the book, that's how I finally realized that a brain injury was, had 2,500 new emails to my private email account. And you know, when you read, thousands of people are praying for you, wishing their best wishes, you know, that's, it's emotional, you know. And I still have trouble reading my own book to this day, because it brings back so many bad and good memories too. So
thanks a lot, Saul. Appreciate it.
It's a never-ending story. It's still going. I thank you. All right.
Now, I know I said it after the Tour of California interview, and having met Saul, having met his parents, Saul is an amazing young man. If anyone can get back into the pro peloton, I have no doubt that Saul can do it. And once again, I attribute that not just to Saul, but also to his amazing parents, Jim and Yvonne. They were there in Salt Lake City to watch Saul do this race. They were riding in the car with his fiance and cheering him on all the way up that hill climb. And it was great to see them, and it was great to see Saul. I've had a chance to start Dave Shields and Saul's new book, Tour de Life, From Coma to Competition. The two previous Dave Shields books that I read were The Race and The Tour. They're both fictional accounts of one rider's journey through one Tour de France. They're both compelling books and a very compelling story. Dave has a way of bringing cycling to the pages in a way where you can feel the wind in your hair, you can feel yourself start to sweat, you can feel your heart rate go up, and it's almost like your legs get sore just by reading his books. He has an amazing way of translating cycling from and physical activity to the pages of a book. And so when he told me that he was going to be writing Saul Raisin's story, I knew that it would be equally, if not more, compelling than his fictional works. And I have to tell you that it is. I'm literally having to fight my wife every day to get at that copy of the book so that I can get through it and finish it. It is emotional. It is a tearjerker from the very beginning, whether you are a parent or a sibling. If you're a human, you will find this book interesting and compelling. And if you are a cycling fan, and if you're a Fredcast listener, I know you are, this is a book that you are not going to want to miss. The book comes out in September of 2007. You can pre-order it in all sorts of places, all sorts of the usual places. But if you want to get your copy right now, go to tourdaylife.us and you can order the book and they will send it to you right now and you can get a jump on the rest of your friends. I highly recommend that you do so. It is, once again, something that I recommend fully. It's called Tour de Life. It's the Saul Raisin story with Saul Raisin and Dave Shields. Thanks once again to Dave Shields for setting up the interview and to Saul Raisin for taking some of his valuable time to sit down and speak with me here on the Fredcast. Well, now shifting gears away from a positive and uplifting story, listener Jim sent in a voicemail as he was watching the beginning stages of the Tour de France, and it gives an interesting perspective on what all of these doping scandals have done to the sport of professional cycling. Now, I know a lot of you think that we talk about this too much here on the Fredcast, and that we talk about it too much on the Spokesman Cycling Roundtable podcast, but when you hear listener Jim's voicemail, I think you'll understand why it is that we are so adamant of trying to rid the sport of the scourge of doping. Here's listener Jim and his take on what it's done to his view of professional cycling.
Hey, David, this is Jim in Ohio. I love watching the Tour de France, but this doping thing is really getting to me. In the prologue, we saw Cancellara beat Clodin by 13 seconds. And yesterday, we saw Robin McEwen come from nowhere to win. And I love the heroicism. I love the heroic efforts there. Then the next thing that creeps into my mind is, are they doping? All right. That's the bad thing about doping, in my opinion. Have a good one.
Jim, I have to agree with you. It was something that I also thought of several times in the beginning stages of this year's tour. But since then, I've sort of taken a rose-colored view of the whole thing. It has been such an exciting Tour de France up until this point. And there have been so many compelling stories, both victories and defeats, in this year's tour. I'm choosing to believe, again, perhaps it's just rose-colored glasses, but I'm choosing to believe that this is a clean tour, and I am enjoying it for the pure spectacle, the pure sport, and the pure cycling of it all. So hopefully you can do the same, and we will all enjoy this year's 2007 Tour de France. I am thoroughly enjoying it so far. Well, that is going to do it for this week's edition, the 76th regular show for the Fredcast Cycling Podcast. We have become an incredibly popular show in the cycling world, but we would always like to bring more listeners on board. So please spread the word about the Fredcast. One way, again, is to nominate us for a podcast award. Please go to www.thefredcast.com and click that link on the left side of the page and nominate us by July the 15th. Of course, you can also vote for us on Podcast Alley. You can go directly to Podcast Alley for that, or I do have a link on the main website where you can do that as well. One thing a lot of you have done, and I am gratified with what you've written, is you've written an iTunes review. There's a link in the show notes to where you can do that as well. Or just tell your friends, the folks you ride with all the time, the people in your club, about the Fredcast. If you love it, hopefully they will love it as well. In the meantime, if you'd like to contact me, please do so. You can send me an email. The email address is thefredcast@gmail.com. You can do what listener Jim did and send a voicemail to area code 206-203-FRED. You can also follow us on Twitter, the regular Fredcast Twitter at twitter.com/Fredcast, or the Daily Tour live microblogging in real time as each stage unfolds at twitter.com/Daily Tour. And there's no space between the words daily and tour. And of course, you can always visit our website, and that's www.fredcast.com. thefredcast.com. Now, before I go for this evening and try to get a couple of hours sleep before stage six of this year's Tour de France, I've got your PodSafe cycling music, which comes to us, as always, from the PodSafe Music Network at music.podshow.com. Kind of cool thing, a very famous artist from the 1980s, Howard Jones, has posted a couple of songs, new songs, on the PodSafe Music Network, and I'm happy to have one for you tonight. This song is called Revolution of the Heart. It's by Howard Jones, who will have a world tour this year, and I've put a link in the show notes to where you can buy this song on iTunes, find any song from Howard Jones on iTunes, where you can find him on the PodShow site and his own website, as well as a link to his tour dates. That's going to do it for tonight. Be back tomorrow with the Daily Tour Podcast, and be back within a week or so with the next regularly scheduled Fredcast Cycling Podcast. In the meantime, enjoy the music, but most of all, enjoy the ride.
Talking better.